सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So in this chapter 4 of Vedanta Treatise, entitled as Code of Living, the topic is three temperaments. Every human being is made up of the body, mind and intellect, and mind has these three temperaments. What they are called as Sattva, Rajas and Tamas in Sanskrit. Sattva is the balanced, serene, composed state of mind. Rajas is passionate, desirous, greedy, agitated, restless state of mind, result-oriented state of mind. Whereas tamas is lazy, lethargic, indolent, heedless to the consequence state of mind. So tamas is called as inactive, rajas is called as active, and sattva is called as transactive in Swamiji's book. Transactive in the sense it's beyond action, beyond desire, beyond vasanas. In the sense you direct the vasanas and you act with balance. That is sattva. So these are all three different temperaments at the mind level. All of us have these three temperaments. No one is an excuse. Tamas is the lowest category of mind. Rajas is the mediocre and sattva is the highest. The idea is one has to rise from tamas to rajas to sattva and also go beyond sattva, because beyond these gunas lies the essential divinity, the real self of every being, and that is the ultimate goal, and therefore one needs to go beyond tamas, rajas and sattva. So first what you have to do, you have to reduce tamas and rajas. So if, for example, a human being is 10% sattva, 40% tamas, 50% rajas, that's an example. Slowly, slowly, the 10% sattva should increase to 15. Tamas should reduce from 40 to at least, and it should come to 33. Then rajas should reduce from 50 to 47. Slowly, slowly you got to do this. Then as you keep on increasing sattva, when you bring yourself to 100% sattva, once you reach 100% sattva, please understand that 100% sattva cannot sustain itself because all the three gunas have to be together. Therefore, when you reach 100% sattva means you go beyond all the three gunas and you reach atma, which is guna atita, which is beyond gunas. You realize the self. That's the ultimate goal. But whether or not you reach that goal of guna atita state, going beyond sattva, if you keep on increasing sattva, when your sattva goes on increasing, your life, you will develop lot more clarity, lot more calmness, lot more dynamism plus peace you will have. Therefore, your quality of life improves as the sattva increases. Therefore, we need to understand how these gunas, first of all, what these gunas are, how these gunas function, what gunas function, or which time of the day is more conducive for what guna, you know, so that we use the time to develop sattva and try to stifle tamas and rajas, reduce tamas and rajas, and then develop a lifestyle accordingly, basically. That's the idea. Why do we suggest a particular lifestyle? Early in the morning, you rise, go to bed early. Why such a lifestyle is prescribed? To have a better quality life. That's all. You understand? So therefore, he discusses all that. How to use time to develop sattva and go beyond sattva and realize the self. All that is discussed here. And then the next topic is caste system. There in the caste system is there how based on these three gunas they evolved the caste system. And how it has gone astray today. Today, the present caste system has to be shelved. Because they take it by birth. So how the caste system came into picture, what was conceived during the Vedic time, all that he discusses later on. So, we have seen so far the definitions of tamas, rajas and sattva. Now we will start reading that portion where sattva, rajas and tamas composed that portion onwards. Avanti, you want to read? You have the book?
Yes, Guruji.
So you read from that portion where the definition of tamas, rajas and sattva gets over and then there's a paragraph which starts with sattva, rajas and tamas composed in different proportions. From that paragraph.
Okay. Sattva, rajas and tamas composed in different proportions accounts for the heterogeneous variety of human beings. Every individual possesses all three gunas. The proportion of these temperaments differ from person to person. Some have sattva predominating over rajas and tamas. They are referred to as sattvic persons. They are referred to as sattvic persons. The predominance of rajas over the other two creates a rajasic person and the predominance of tamas a tamasic person. The law of nature is such that the sattva guna in an individual surfaces in the early hours of the morning between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. His rajas and tamas lie dominant during that period. Similarly, rajas predominantly manifests at daytime between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. So does tamas show up at night from 6 p.m. to 4 a.m. The law holds good for everyone, from the highest sattvic to the lowest tamasic person.
So, first of all, what we need to understand is, all of us are a mixture of sattva, rajas and tamas. So, nobody is exempt. Everybody has sattva, everybody has rajas, everybody has tamas. Only the proportion differs from person to person. All human beings are a mixture of these three gunas. Only the proportion differs from person to person. Some have more tamas than rajas than sattva. Some have more rajas than tamas and sattva. Some have more sattva than rajas, tamas. All these permutation combinations. So to explain this, we give the example of coffee. Anywhere in the world, when you drink coffee, these three components are there. Decoction, milk and sugar. All these three are there. If you go to South India, decoction will be more. Milk will be less and sugar also will be less. If you go to Punjab, milk will be more, decoction will be less, sugar will be more. If you go to Gujarat, sugar will be very, very high and then decoction and milk. But all three will be there. It's exactly like that. All of us are a permutation combination of sattva, rajas and tamas. If tamas it predominates, you are called as a predominantly tamasic person. If rajas predominates, you are predominantly a rajasic person. If sattva predominates, you are predominantly a sattvic person. Predominantly. That doesn't mean certain times you won't be tamasic, certain times you won't be rajasic. Predominantly you are a sattvic, rajasic, tamasic person. So therefore, as I already discussed with you, the idea is what? You need to develop more and more high quality, which is sattva. The tamas and rajas, which is lower, has to be reduced. In that case, we need to understand which time of the day is conducive for which guna. So he says, for sattva guna, morning 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. is a highly conducive time. Now, you got to clearly note this particular word conducive, because Just because you wake up between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. doesn't mean you will become highly sattvic. The time is conducive for improving sattva guna, number one. And number two, whatever amount of sattva you may have, that will propel you to wake up between that time. If you are an extremely, extremely sattvic person, you will automatically wake up at that time. So, we got to use that time. After waking up at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, what do you do? That also matters. See, I remember, even today, when there is a cricket match in New Zealand, especially test cricket, it starts their time 9:30, 10 in the morning. I think it is early morning for us, 3 o'clock or something. When I was very young, I used to wake up to watch the cricket match so early in the morning. You can't say, oh, just because this fellow is waking up, he's really very sattvic. Just because of my desire to watch cricket, you know, I used to wake up in the morning those days. So, just because you wake up doesn't mean you are a highly sattvic. If you are sattva, the sattva will, if it's predominant, it will propel you to wake up. And having woken up, if you do sattvic activities like studying, etc., that will be helpful to develop more sattva. Therefore, we should understand this. And between 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., when the sun has come out, slowly, slowly, it is more conducive for rajas, the activities. Anywhere in the world you will see, very highly rajasic environment, if you see, morning 6 o'clock itself, they go out for the work. There is traffic jam in certain places like New York and all. Early morning 6:30 itself. You know. And then, anywhere in the world, slowly, slowly, all the tamasic activities start after 6 p.m. After sundown. And it peaks around 11, 12, like that. Slowly, slowly. Anywhere. Even if you go to Las Vegas and go to a gambling center, morning 4 o'clock, there won't be any much crowd. Not much crowd. But around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, you go slowly, slowly, the crowd starts coming more and more and more. That time is more conducive for tamas. See, look at it also how it is. Especially, our biology, psychology, everything is tied up with nature. Now, the light and all that is a recent, you know, electricity, all that is a recent phenomenon in history. So we used to wake up with sun, go to bed with sun. And accordingly, our hormones secreting, different hormones secreting, all that also matters. In fact, a lot of doctors say you should not compromise on your sleep. You should at least sleep 6 to 8 hours. When you do that, there is something called as REM cycle, rapid eye movement, you know. So, each REM cycle is approximately 1.5 hours. So, they say if you sleep for about 7.5-8 hours, there's approximately 5 REM cycles you go through. So, they say minimum 4 to 5 REM cycles are needed for everybody. Because only during the daytime, there is so much of dirt is being collected in the brain and the nervous system and all that, neurons. So, when we sleep, it's the time when all the waste gets segregated. Sorted out to a great extent. So that is why they say you should not compromise on your sleep. If you do, what they call as you will develop what is called as sleep debt, which causes lot of problems. Lot of problems. So why I'm saying this is our gene is coming from our forefathers who were living in those days when there is no electricity. So they were sleeping like that. So we have inherited that. So biologically what they say, the best time to go to bed is around 8:39. So finish off your dinner by 6:30. 2.5 hours you keep and go to bed. And then you will have around at least 7 to 8 hours sleep, proper sleep. Then when you wake up, your brain is rested very well. And immediately those passionate desires don't surface. It takes a while for the passionate desires to surface. So that period before the passionate desires surface, and Rosana, that period is conducive time for doing reflection, contemplation on higher aspects of life. Because the worldly desires have not come out that much. So, because 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the conducive time for developing sattva, if you sleep at 2 o'clock at night for whatever reason and then wake up at 4, you are not able to do that, study and all that properly. So when we say 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. doesn't mean even if you sleep at 3, you get up at 4, you will develop sattva. No. The idea is if you go to bed with nature, because tamasic tendencies try to come out, especially when the body has become little tired after you have done so many actions throughout the day. You have to do a lot of decision making, you know. From the time you wake up in the morning, you have to do a lot of decision making. It may be such a small thing as what do I wear for my work today? So such problems we don't have because every day we wear the same clothes. But people who work in different organizations, they have these kind of issues. I should not repeat the same thing. So brain doesn't understand that it's a small decision or big decision. As far as the brain is concerned, it's an effort, it's a decision, it's energy spent. So the whole day, in all kinds of decision making, the brain has spent a good amount of energy. By the time evening comes, brain is really tired. So it is not able to do the same level of decision making in the evening as it could do in the morning. So when these tamasic tendencies give pressure to you during the time, brain is not able to control it, it gives in to it. Therefore, it is more conducive if you create a lifestyle where you have your dinner and go off to sleep by 8:39, maximum by 9:30. So that you are spending the tamasic energy in sleep, you know, the laziness, these kind of indulgence thoughts and all that goes in sleep itself. So you don't have to, you won't be awake and then giving into tamas. See, the more we involve in any kind of activities, that particular guna develops more and more. Therefore, they said you create a lifestyle where you wake up early, go to bed early, and during the time when there are passionate desires prompting you to do actions, follow what the scriptures told you, how to do the actions in an unselfish way in the spirit of karma yoga. That karma yoga we will study in detail in the fifth chapter, next chapter, which is called as exigency of action. So, therefore, morning you wake up, study and do other spiritual sadhana. Then get on to your walking, jogging, yoga, whatever, and then get on to your work and do it in the spirit of karma yoga. And when you come back at home before going to bed, maybe a little bit of bhajans or kirtan or story reading of, you know, higher aspects, and then go off to bed with that kind of a higher thought. And if you do this slowly, slowly, you can increase sattva, manage rajas, eliminate tamas. This is called life management. This is nothing but life management. Life management is guna management. Faculties management, equipments management, instruments management, perceptions, actions, emotions and thoughts management. That is called life management. What is life management? Big word it is. Life management. This is what life is all about. Our equipments contacts the world, that is experience. Series of such experience flowing is called life. So therefore life management is what? Managing all this. That's what Gita talks about. That's what Vedanta talks about. If you understand this with your intelligence, you will support yourself lead such a lifestyle. That's all it is. You know. So therefore, he says, this is a conducive time. The law holds good for everyone. From the highest sattvic to the lowest tamasic person. See, extremely, extremely tamasic fellows you will see, who as soon as they wake up in the morning, they'll be thinking of drinking alcohol. In a highly addictive person also, early in the morning, he is not thinking about it. Maybe one or two exceptions are there. But as the sun goes down, the thought comes. So therefore, use the time to propel yourself to higher realms of life. Continue.
The sattvic temperament is highest in a sattvic person, less in a rajasic person, least in a tamasic person. Regardless of the quantum, the sattva in a person manifests in the early hours. If the sattvic content is more, the pressure for its expression is maximum. That explains why a sattvic person wakes up early. The pressure being low in a rajasic person, he wakes up late. The tamasic has to be virtually pulled out of bed.
But today, if you see in the world, now, it's slowly becoming more of tamas. We are not judging, but we need to observe and know these facts. People, even when they talk, they say, I can stand 10 pegs. As if it's a big achievement. You know? So, the thing is, not understanding. It's not that they will do whoever it is. If you understand, if you begin to understand, especially now if you see, because of this social media, there are a lot of nonsense, but there are a lot of good things also. See, a lot of videos which create awareness about sleep, about food, about lifestyle, about this, that, many things, you know, finance management, etc., etc. That way, if you see, we are living in the era which is a very good era if you want to use it properly. But unfortunately, not many know how to use it. That's the problem. But then, so what I'm saying is, once people become aware, then they won't do that. It's not that they are somehow purposely doing it. It is just that they don't understand it. Therefore, he explained, he says, the sattva in a person comes out during early hours of the day. Because then the rajas and tamas starts coming, sattva finds it difficult. So therefore, if you wake up early, it is even more conducive. In a sattvic person, sattva is highest. In a rajasic person, sattva is less. In a tamasic person, sattva is much less. Whatever it may be, if you wake up and put in efforts, you can slowly develop it even more. That's all he says. So he says, a sattvic person naturally wakes up early. A rajasic person with little effort. Tamasic fellow, very difficult. very difficult. Like I said, you know, once you've given into your tamas, those tamasic activities also dullens your capacity. You understand? It dullens your capacity. Then your thinking capacity, everything goes away, slowly. The decision-making abilities goes away. See, today the biggest problem most of us are facing in the world, especially youngsters, is drug issue, drugs. And it's not only natural drugs that come from plants and all that, but there are drugs which are chemical drugs. And they are highly dangerous for the brain and nervous system and everything. And it slowly makes a person like a vegetable. A person cannot make decisions, cannot think. So when you indulge too much into tamas, slowly you lose your faculties. It's a problem. In fact, the other day, the doctor was explaining nicely, he said, the more and more you create sleep debt by sleeping very little, leading a very highly rajasic lifestyle, which induces a lot of stress in your life, the high possibility of Alzheimer and all that, you know, it can set in very early. He said there are other factors also like gene and many other things. But this also makes it, you are supposed to get it at 70, you may be getting it at 650, you know. So, we need to understand this and then manage our life. Continue.
Besides waking a person up early, the other sattvic qualities are seen clearly manifest at that time, like being calm and composed, serene and contemplative, being averse to plunging into gross physical activity or indulging in sensual pleasure. Hence, early morning is said to be well suited for contemplation and the sattvic time most conducive for spiritual practice. St- study, reflection and meditation become effective between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. Thus, utilizing the early hours and retiring early, you can increase your sattva, control your rajas and reduce your tamas.
See, as I mentioned to you, if your body is rested well, your energy is reclaimed and there is fresh energy in the morning and the desires are not manifested from within immediately as soon as you wake up for at least 1 or 2 hours. It will all start after that. So that particular time is very good from your internal point of view. You are calm, serene, composed. Externally also, if you see, the environment is very conducive, calm, serene. Many people are sleeping. Even those people who have woken up, they are also doing reflection. It's a very quiet time. A lot of people say, sir, how to find a quiet place in a place like Mumbai? Mushkila. Where will I get a quiet place? So Vedanta says, don't worry about quiet place. At least you will get a quiet time. Try to get a quiet time. That is possible. It is early hours of the day. Since outside and inside is calm, it is conducive for development of sattva. Increasing sattva, controlling rajas, reducing tamas. Continue.
Just as sattva manifests early in the morning, rajas finds its expression during the course of the day. Whatever rajasic content a person has, it forces its way out after the sattvic time is over. Hence, people are found bristling with activity during daytime. The rajasic person with a large proportion of rajas becomes frightfully active. The rest also are prone to be involved in some form of activity from morning till evening, commensurate with their rajasic content. Tamas emerges after 6 p.m. Indulgence in intoxicants, sex, gambling, etc. is conspicuous during nighttime. Most pronounced in tamasic persons, less in rajasic and virtually absent in sattvic persons.
Continue.
Your mission in life should be to raise yourself from tamas to rajas to sattva. And your goal to reach trans-sattva. Trans-sattva is the state of self-realization, God-realization. As you drop your tamas and rajas, you attain more and more sattva. As you continue the spiritual pursuit, your sattva gradually displaces all rajas and tamas. But sattva alone cannot exist since the human being is essentially made up of all three gunas. Consequently, pure sattva transforms itself to trans-sattva. You become the supreme self, liberated from the persecutions of the body, mind and intellect. From the balcony of the self, you watch the procession of perception, emotion and thought go by.
What he says is, if you continue this exercise following such a lifestyle, then you will increase sattva, reduce rajas, eliminate tamas, and as you keep on increasing sattva, you will come to a stage where it is 100% sattva. When you come to 100% sattva, like I mentioned to you, one guna alone cannot exist. It will exist with all the three gunas. I mentioned to you once, tamas, rajas and sattva, you can look at it in a different way. Nothing but energy, force, manifestation. The whole universe is nothing but force manifestation, energy manifestation. So, if there is energy, force constantly acting, that's also not good. If it's constantly at rest, that is also not good. But there has to be balance. So there are three forces. Active force, resting force, balanced force. That is rajas, tamas, sattva. Now, if you say balance, balance between what? Rajas and sattva only, na? So once you come to that stage, the self from within starts reflecting more and more. It's like this. The sun above reflects in a pond if the water is clean. But if the water is having a lot of dirt, lot of disturbance, supposing there is too much of kai at the surface, you won't see the reflection. And even if you remove a little bit of kai, slowly, slowly as you remove, and if there is too much of agitation in the water, let's say like in just jacuzzi, then also you won't see the reflection clearly. So you got to remove the kai, you got to bring the agitation less and less. When both happens, then you will see the self, or when the sun manifests more and more, the reflected sun, you will see better. Similarly, the Atma, the pure consciousness in us, starts revealing itself more and more, which comes out through that sattvic person as calmness at the mind level, as clarity at the intellect level, and dynamic, clear activity at the physical level. All these three happens. So, what he is trying to say is, with reference to perception, actions, emotions and thoughts, you will be able to give a much better direction. So you will be getting behind your perception, emotions and thoughts, and you will be directing it rather than getting directed by your desires or by your tamasic propensities. Therefore, you will become more and more objective. That's why he says, from the balcony of the self, you watch the procession of perception, emotion and thought go by. Meaning, you become more of a subject dealing with the equipments, instruments. You see, this is called witnessing. This is called objectivity. See, for example, somebody is going through a perception. Now, and that perception can agitate you, disturb you. You may go through stress. You may not be able to think properly because you are not being a witness there. You got involved, affected by it. But slowly, slowly, if you can develop the ability to be a witness, you will allow the perception to come in. You will be calmly dealing with it and taking the necessary action. This is called objectivity. So that's why it is. You will be identifying with the self more and more and not with the body, mind and intellect thereafter. Body will go through perceptions, actions. Mind will go through emotions. Intellect will go through thinking, contemplation. But even through all these things, you will be still identifying with the self and then dealing with those perceptions, actions, emotions and thoughts. This is called objectivity. This is called observing from the balcony of the self the procession of perception, emotion, action, thought go by. Today when the perception comes, you get involved. When the action comes, you get involved. Emotions, thoughts, everything, we get involved. How to remain objective? You know? See, for example, when we are invited to talk in Rotary clubs and all, generally it's only for 20 minutes. Except one place where they had a different kind of a meeting that day, so they said you can talk for an hour. Otherwise, usually it's 20 minutes. They have bell and all that ringing. And they've invited few speakers, etc. You'll find some people, 2-3 times they have to ring the bell, they won't stop. They get involved in what they've come to communicate. But your objective, just before the bell rings, you will finish few seconds or minutes before, after conveying all your points the way you want it, to the best of your ability and get out. That's called objectivity. With the full awareness, the controlling and directing the whole environment, remaining a witness. And that's what he means by saying, from the balcony of the self, you watch the procession of perception, emotion and thought go by. When this happens, you can put a beautiful title under your name. Sadhana Ketham, Life Director. Vanti Motha, Life Director. I can direct my life. I'm a CEO of my life, etc. Continue.
Does not this make us less emotionally into the family when you become just a witness?
You will be less emotional, but you will have pure emotions. If you are taken away emotions, that's bad. But that's not what happens. In fact, your emotion starts becoming more and more pure. You see, today, mostly people, we need to think about these factors, you know, these aspects. These are little deep concepts. And we say love, love, love. It is more of two lonely people getting together and calling each other as if they love each other. You know, it is basically out of my loneliness and fear, I'm seeking a companionship, and whatever companionship is kind of catering to me, either directly or indirectly, I call it love. So the whole thing is out of weakness. This kind of expressions of emotions, so-called expressions out of emotions in this world today, are being wrongly called as love, etc. But they are not truly speaking love. They are more of attachment. They are more of expressions out of loneliness. You know, so pure emotions are hardly understood by anybody. Pure emotions will be there in a sattvic person. He or she will be having highly pure emotions. You know? See, for example, when I really respect you, love you, to that extent I will give you means who am I to give freedom? But I'm just using words for communication sake. I will understand the freedom, the space that the other person requires. And I will do that. I will live life accordingly. And that doesn't mean I'm having no emotions. In fact, because of my pure emotions for that person, that is being done that way. But a very highly emotional person will not understand it as emotions. What is this driver? Yes, there are tamasic fellows who are extremely indifferent. But that is not what happens to a sattvic person.
No, does that mean that what I feel for my husband is what I'll feel for the rest of the world?
Yes,
once I become completely sattvic, is that very emotional?
Yes, of course you will feel that way. And also, you will be clear that you have more obligations with your husband and children. You see, my feeling for everyone will be same. But obligation-wise, I have more towards my own. See, I have more obligation towards this particular group because I've committed to do this class between Thursdays 11 to 12. But that doesn't mean I love other people less. But my obligation is there. You understand? So I have obligation towards my institute, towards my teacher, towards my guru, towards my family members, towards the area in which for example, my country. I have same feeling when an American soldier get hurt or Pakistani soldier get hurt. You understand?
Yep.
I will have the same feeling. But then my obligation is more towards my country. I will speak very clear on that. I will understand that. But emotions will be there, feeling will be there, unrestricted for everybody. That
so
is what
happens. So if one is sattvic, I'm just trying to clarify. I have a friend, she left her husband because the husband said that, oh, I love you, I like you as much as I like this other girl, and I will spend half my days with you and half my days with her. And she said, sorry, that's not on, that cannot be true. So is she wrong or is he wrong?
No, see.
Far as sattvic is
okay, now
really at the level, because then it's emotional attachment.
See, Amiji, please understand this. You forget about sattva, rajas, tamas temporarily. Let's talk as ordinary layman. In this context, I would say that decision that she took is nothing right or wrong. It is her decision. And she's taken the decision. But that doesn't mean now onwards if she starts hating him, you understand? The decision is separate. But the feeling is, let's say, hatred. That means it is not so that she had love before. To whatever extent she had love, that love cannot change into hatred. Opposite of love is not hatred. Opposite of attachment is hatred. I have been attached. That emotion attachment can now change into hatred. Love can never change into hatred. Now, if she starts developing or starts having hatred now, that means before what she had for him is attachment. Now the same case with him once. Now what he said at all, I don't know. Right? Whether he just verbally said or he genuinely felt that way, I don't know what was the reason and all that. But end of the day, I can take whatever desire, I can decide my life. Whether I want to continue with such a man or I don't want to continue with such a man, I will lead my life separately. Let's divorce. That is fine. Absolutely very good. If you have decided that way, that's fine. That is nothing wrong. That is not the determining factor whether you have pure emotions or not. Uske baad, do you still have love? and wish well for that person, whatever it is.
No, I was in reference to sattva. That is a higher sattva.
That is what I'm saying, Amiji. A sattvic person, now come to this. A sattvic person will take decisions. One sattvic person may decide to live with him. Another sattvic person may decide, no, I'm not living with him. Decisions can vary, but their love will continue to be the same if you are
sattvic. No, what about him?
Are, that is same thing, na? If he is also sattvic, you understand? If he is sattvic, to that extent, he will have love. Otherwise, it is attachment. See, when you talk about these kind of concepts, now, for example, Sri Krishna, he was married to 60,000, more than 60,000 women. Did he have love or attachment to all the women? Draupadi was married to 5 men. Did she have love or attachment? Is it the number that determines? See, this is not the number that determines. I'm talking about feelings. Now that, we are not getting into what is right, what is wrong, how it has come about. Those are all different discussions.
Interesting. It's only men who have so many more, not women who have so many more.
Hey, Amiji, that is what I'm saying. That could have come from different, then we'll get into different discussions.
So they were mystical. They were not really, they never lived really. They never lived really. They are imagination.
That's your idea. But according to me, that is not conveyed. Even if it is mystical or imagination, it is conveyed to make us understand certain deep concepts. See, the deep concepts we need to understand, the expression of love will be different. Now, there cannot be, a change of mind that now on I'm hating you. Because till now I had love, but now on I'm hating. No. Even if you hurt me, see what Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, you should have ahimsa. But what is he telling? Fight the battle, kill them. Okay? This is knowledge. In the so-called mystical story, this knowledge is given. What is the knowledge telling? He is emphasizing ahimsa. The qualities, when he talks about qualities in Bhagavad Gita, he emphasizes ahimsa. At the same time, what is he telling Arjuna? Fight, kill them. What is this? Action is killing, but the intention, the emotion inside is ahimsa. So such a thing is possible. That is sattva. That is what I am trying to convey. I am very much in the topic. So when you become sattvic, you will be very clear. You will not want to hurt even any being. You understand? But at the same time, you are not incompetent of killing when necessity comes. Otherwise, that quality becomes a weakness in you. It's the inner strength. There is no intention or feeling to kill any being, knowingly or unknowingly. Right? But when it comes actually to do, you will do it from a deeper level. Because at the emotion level, there is no hatred. Like for example, a soldier has been told two countries are at war and they have declared war. The soldier may have a different opinion. He has no choice. He is serving the country. He goes and fights. He has no personal vendetta against anybody whom he is fighting. He is killing so many people. Is he doing anything wrong? No. Even in the worldly law, we don't put him in jail, na, in our country, because he has killed a few people. So, in fact, we give them medals and all that. You know. So, what I am trying to convey is, when you become sattvic, you will have pure emotions. Decisions can vary. There are, I know these kind of stories, many more. I cannot share it with you in this kind of a platform. And I will definitely not take the names. But you know, there are people who have decided consciously, not that they are weak, not that they are dependent on the husband. They are not dependent on the husband. They are financially well off, independently. They are very smart women. But they have taken a decision to continue with such a man for whatever reason. We respect that decision. They are not thinking that they are doormats. They are also strong women. But they have taken decision to continue with such a man. But they continue having love for that person. Similarly, there are people like you are giving instances where they have moved out, but they wish well for that person. Okay, you do what you want. I am moving away. That feeling has to be there, that to whatever extent you have sattva, that will be pure emotion. That cannot change. It cannot be, you have done this to me, so now on I will hate you. That is, then it is not love, it is attachment. Then it is attachment. That's all I am saying. So, you asked about sattvic person, I am explaining from that angle. Sattvic person will definitely have pure emotions. Even to a person who is hurting me. You know, in, if you see the highly, the sages and all those people, they talk about forgiveness also. They talk about ahimsa also. They talk about going ahead and fighting and killing also. All three. So what is this forgiveness? It is at the deeper level you have forgiveness. But at the external level, sometimes, you know, like the doctor has tremendous good feelings for the patient, but he has to surgically remove certain parts where the cancer has spread. He can't help it. You know, one of my cousin brother had stomach cancer. They've cut almost half of his stomach. They know very well what kind of a lifestyle he'll lead after that. But at least he'll be living, na? So for, if it's good intention, they did that. So, we are talking about mental quality, balance, calmness, serene, balanced, happiness, composed. That will continue. Decisions can change. See, decisions are based on so many other factors. You know, sometimes people take decisions out of ego also. Not necessarily objectively. But assuming that somebody took decisions, let's say two cases. Same case, two decisions by two individuals after clear thinking, one opposite decision to the other. Possible. But internally, to the extent they have sattva, they love love. That cannot change. Now, if you say about that fellow also, I would say, to whatever extent that fellow has love, it cannot change. If it changes, then in that case also it is attachment only. It is definitely attachment. It's a very big discussion, especially if you go into other details. But if you just talk about that emotion, this is my answer to that. Is it okay? Are you there?
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Continue, please, Avanti.
You must pull yourself out of these temperaments and attain the trans-sattvic state. You may have to initiate action where inaction prevails. It needs your personal effort. The trouble with most people is that they want others to work for them while they remain idle. They listen to many discourses and do little thereafter. All the lectures of sages and saints are of no avail unless you are prepared to lecture to yourself. Reflect and contemplate on what you have heard or read. Thus, must you learn to raise yourself by yourself.
See, here he's saying, therefore you must put in efforts to pull yourself away from tamas, rajas and increase more and more sattva. And instead of blaming the world and instead of criticizing everybody else, you understand that ultimately what matters is your effort. So this shloka is there in verse number 5, chapter 6 of the Gita. Udhared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadaye atmaiva atmano banduhu atmaiva ripuratmanaha. You got to lift yourself by yourself. If you control the intellect, control the mind with intellect, mind becomes your friend. If you don't control the mind with your intellect, mind becomes your enemy. That's what the shloka is saying. Therefore he says, you must put in this effort of waking up early, going to bed early, doing reflection, doing other sadhana, trying to maintain sattvic lifestyle as much as possible, and trying to bring more and more light into your life. It is in your hands. Therefore, he says, thus must you learn to raise yourself by yourself. You can take the help of gurus, books, people, everybody. There's nothing wrong. But ultimately, you've got to put in that effort. Nobody else can help you other than yourself. Continue.
As you move from inaction to action, you slip into another difficulty. You become involved in your activities, attached to things and beings of the world. You do not realize that you are persecuted by your own actions and possessions. Learn a little simple law of life. Just in as much as you claim possession of anything, you remain possessed and obsessed.
Continue.
You tie one end of a rope around the neck of a mule and hold the other end in your hand and claim the mule as yours. You believe the mule has become your slave. That is subordinate to you. The reason for your claim is that the mule cannot leave you. The mule has lost its freedom to you. It is true. But then the converse also is true. You cannot leave the mule either. You cannot leave the mule because the mule cannot leave you. You have become a slave of the mule. If you are free to leave the mule, so is the mule free to leave you. By enslaving the mule, you enslave yourself. So it is with the world. The moment you claim possession of the world, you are possessed by the world. It is the law.
So, he's saying, when you move from tamas to rajas, that is from inaction to action, the biggest problem at the rajasic level is attachment, involvement, possessiveness. That's the problem. So he says, you slip into another difficulty. What difficulty? You become involved in your activities. My action. It should get the result. And I hope it will get the result. And I hope after getting the results, people will appreciate me. And I hope I will be able to retain this success. And I hope this appreciation and all will continue forever. You know, all these kind of thoughts are called as attachment. That is a clear sign of attachment. Result orientation and all that. So he says, attached to things and beings of the world, you do not realize that you are persecuted by your own action and possessions. Learn a simple law of life. Just in as much as you claim possession of anything, you remain possessed and obsessed. See, in short, what he is saying is, the problem is the possessiveness to action, to people, to objects, beings, things, you know. When we become possessive about the people, we are actually treating them as objects. As if we are the possessors and they are possessed objects. Out of this possessiveness, we in fact lose the relationships. Some relationships end up in divorce. Some relationships may not end up in divorce, but for all practical purposes, it's gone. They're just living in one under one roof, that's all. So basically what he's saying, that example he gives is a beautiful example. You tie the rope around the mule and say mule cannot go anywhere because I'm holding the other end of the rope. You know, a mule will say the same thing, this fellow cannot go anywhere without me. So to whatever objects or things you are attached and possessed, you will also be possessed by it. That's called enslavement. That's called bondage. The I, when it gets involved, me and mine gets involved, you bind yourself more and more mentally. This is the problem. In most of the relationships, whether parents, children, siblings, or husband, wife, especially husband, wife and parents, children, most of the time, the biggest problem is possessiveness. Biggest headache. Relationships get spoiled because of possessiveness. Please understand this.
So Guruji, possessiveness and expectation is almost same.
No. See, now when you talk about expectation, now if you think that, let's say for example, you are appearing for 12th standard exam, let's say, and then I know as a teacher, I know you are a student who is very good and I expect you to get 9500. What is wrong in that expectation? Nothing wrong. Right? But to expect the expectations to be always fulfilled, that is wrong. So then I become possessive about my students. Oh, they have to get, why are they not getting? That is possessiveness. That is wrong. Having expectation per se, nothing wrong. That expectation is a projection out of my observation of the data of the student. What is wrong in that? That is fine. About my children or anything. A relationship also. When we get together, Amiti was giving one example, when somebody is getting together as husband and wife, there are certain expectations that he will fulfill these commitments, I will fulfill these commitments. Right? End of the day, that is what it is. We are committing each other. Now, many commitments may not be honored by one person or the other person or both. You understand? So then, that is why I said it's a very complicated discussion once you get into all these things. So having an expectation is not wrong, but becoming possessive about it, that is going to spoil the quality of your life. Possessiveness with anything, that is going to really take away the peace of mind. Possessions, nothing wrong. The possessiveness is the problem. Expectation, nothing wrong. Having possessiveness over that expectation that it should be met every time, then your life is gone. You understand? See, you understand the mind can change. Can it not change? Mind is something that will change. It's not your mind, my mind. Anybody's mind can change. You may not get interested in Vedanta at all after some time. It can happen. Is it possible theoretically? Of course possible. I hell with all these Vedanta men. You may say that. You've been consistently attending Vedanta class for the last 12 years. Suddenly you say, hey, Baba, I don't even want to listen to Vedanta word. Possible? अरे सर उसका माइंड चेंज हो गया मैं हो गया ये हो गया अरे क्या करे अभी वो माइंड तो वैसे ही होगा वी आर नॉट सेइंग देयरफॉर यू नो यू शुड स्टॉप ट्रस्टिंग एनीबडी अगर माइंड चेंज हो गया तो मैं क्या करे अरे यार बी रेडी फॉर इट डोंट कीप ऑन आस्किंग एवरीडे अरे माइंड चेंज हो गया क्या चेंज नहीं हुआ अभी तक चेंज होना चाहिए ना लाइक दैट यू कैन कीप ऑन सस्पेक्टिंग क्लियर अंडरस्टैंडिंग हैज टू बी देयर सो दैट यू डोंट बिकम पॉसेसिव अबाउट एनीथिंग Moment you become possessive, it's a problem. Your peace is gone. You move from P-E-A-C-E to P-I-E-C-E. You start losing it. Do you understand the difference, Avanti? So there's nothing wrong in having expectations. You should have expectations, which is a projection based on your observation, your data and everything. What is wrong in that? It's good. In fact, if supposing I have an expectation on myself, based on my efforts. That's good. Then I'll perform better. But it can happen due to many reasons. Things may not have go as I thought, you know. Okay. So that possessiveness should not be there. If it's there, then I'm finished. My efforts will be impoverished. Let's conclude. We'll take it up fresh next week. ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि हरि ओम
हरि ओम गुरुजी